Thanks, Praise Team. Good morning, UBC. How are we doing this morning? Everybody's alive, bright, and sunny. One of these days, we're actually going to have winter. Looking forward to that. Eventually, maybe some rain. I don't know. Let's change it up a little bit. That's my prayer. Maybe even a flood. We could probably use one of those. Maybe not like the big one, but smaller scale. Back in John this week, going through John 15, last week, as you remember, it was kind of, I don't want to say depressing. It's never depressing. But it was a little bit negative in the sense that we were looking at those branches as Jesus uses this metaphor of the vine and the branches. Last week we saw it was kind of a negative aspect of it, that those branches that do not produce fruit, they're cut off from the vine. They are gathered up by someone. It just says they. It doesn't say who. Okay, we can assume the vine dresser, and they are stacked up into a pile, and they are burned. Okay, that was essentially what we were talking about last week. Chapter 15, as we said in the beginning, right, can be divided basically into three sections. We have, and they all have to do with relationships, right? The verses 1 through 11 is our relationship to Christ. And I say our as a believer, as a true branch, our relationship to Christ. Of course, verses 12 through 17, if you look at it, is our relationship to each other. That is the believers, the true branches, relationship to each other. And then the last 18 through 27, those verses are the believer's relationship to the world. And so we've just been primarily focusing on our relationship to Christ at this point in the first 11 verses. We had part one last week, right? And we saw this, Jesus is using this illustration of the vine and the branches in a somewhat contrast to show us the difference between the true vine and the false vine, the true branches and the false branches, which is very important for us to understand. The false branches, of course, just as I said, are those branches that do not produce fruit. He says they do dry up, and the vine dresser does cut them away, and he does throw them away to be destroyed. And so in the simplest, I guess, the easiest way to put this, in the simplest form, right, this metaphor represents our relationship, the relationship of all true disciples to Christ, true branches, true believers, because of our connection to him. That's the whole point. That's the whole point Jesus is trying to make. He's saying, look, here's what your relationship should look like if you are a true disciple, if you are a true follower, because you are inseparably connected to me, and I am inseparably connected to the Father. And so just as a sap and a real tree is what supplies the branches, we could also look at our relationship with Jesus in much the same way. Let's look at the 11 verses again, and then we'll go through them. And this morning we're going to talk about a more positive aspect, and that is, I guess we could say we're going to answer the question, how do you know that you are a true branch? How do you know that you belong to the vine? Okay? Very important question. Very important question. We said last week it would be probably a mistake just to assume that you are a branch. Okay? I would rather know that I'm a branch, not just believe it because somebody told me one time that I am. Okay? I want to know that I'm a true branch. So let's read our 11 verses and we'll pray and then we'll go through this text this morning. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne this morning as a congregation, as a body of believers, Father God, I just pray that that we would empty ourselves, that we would empty ourselves of everything that we brought in, Father, everything that we drag in from the world, that we drag in from our lives in this previous week. You tell us explicitly that we cannot be filled by the Spirit unless we are first emptied of ourselves. And so that's what I pray for this morning, Father God. I pray for always that the Spirit is alive and working in our hearts and our minds, working through the speaking, Father God, that this would be your words that are taught this morning, not man's. That you would open up our ears to hear, Father, that we would be found worthy of our calling, that we would be fulfilled in your purpose, and that we would be powerful in our work of service here this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of these truths. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and the blood you shed to make all of this possible and true. We love you, Lord. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. So, the negative part, right? Jesus, if you look at verse 1, I am the true vine, he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit, right? So, false branches, or as we looked at last week, you could say false disciples or even pseudo-Christians, whatever, they cannot bear fruit. That's the whole point, okay? If you are superficially connected to the vine and you're sitting here today and you think you are a believer, but there is no evidence of that in your life, there's no fruit, right? Christ essentially says, look, you're probably one of those barren branches and you cannot bear good fruit. That was the whole point of the passage we looked at yesterday in Matthew. Remember Jesus in Matthew 7, he tells us, and I'll just read it to you, you will know them by their fruits. And he's talking about false disciples here. He says, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, right? Neither one of those bushes produce fruit, in other words, okay? He says, so every good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree cannot bear fruit. I'm sorry, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And so the point is, this is from last week, that false branches, right, superficial Christians cannot produce good fruit no matter what they do. Okay? No matter what they do. And so this definitely was a negative aspect as we looked last week, but the whole truth of it is that the life comes from the vine. That's the whole point. Without being attached to the vine, there is no life in the branch. Okay? It just cannot be that way. You cannot do anything apart from branches don't grow off by themselves without being attached to the vine. That's his whole point. Okay? And so we look at this positive aspect today. Well, how do we know then we are a real branch? How do we know that we really believe? How do we know that we know? Kind of what we want to look at, right? What is that evidence that we're looking, that we're connected to the vine, that we have this union with Christ by faith, right? And so this is the confidence and comfort, if we just look back a little bit at the background, this is the confidence and comfort that Jesus is trying to convey to the remaining 11 disciples. He wants them to know, look, he's not trying to tell them that you might be false branches. He's trying to tell them that you are the real thing. Right? Not you, because you've already been cleansed by the Word. Look at that, verse 3. You are already clean because it's you, very emphatic, very poignant. You are already clean. I'm not talking about you, but here's how you'll know the difference, right? And the difference between what? True and false branches. True and false branches. Look at the you in there, right? This is in contrast to the fruitless branches. Well, we already know in context, Judas was a fruitless branch. He had just left moments before, walked out the door. It says back in chapter 13, he walked out the door into the darkness. And he's on his way to make final arrangements to betray Jesus. In a few hours, all of his actions will culminate in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of blood, not out of the will or the plan of God, certainly, but certainly from a fruitless, dried up, barren branch. And I guess it's important that I make this point. I didn't say it last week, and I and I didn't want to go in this direction too much, but let me just make one point in this, because you're going to hear it. If you bring this up in a conversation, even with people that profess to believe, they're going to tell you, well, Judas was a believer, but now he's not a believer. That's not what Jesus is saying. Okay? You either are or you aren't. You cannot lose your salvation. If that were true, then Christ would have no power in your life. Judas did not lose his salvation. He never was a fruit-bearing branch. Okay? He never was attached to the vine. Very important. And so Jesus wants to remind these remaining 11, right? Because they're going to run into Judas again, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, this guy was one of us. They're going to see that Peter denies Jesus 3 times at the cross, and they're going to say, man, that guy's one of us. They're all going to run away. One of them, right, loses all of his clothes and splits on Jesus in the middle of the garden, and they're going to say, wow, that guy was one of us. That's why Jesus has to make this point now. In spite of all the circumstances, in spite of everything that you know, everything that's going to transpire, everything that's going to come to pass, I want you to know that you are a true branch. That you are inseparably connected, right? That you also belong, right, to the vine because the Father and the Son are connected. And he says, if you are a true branch, we abide in you. We give you absolute life. You will produce fruit, right? He will not take you away. He will not cast you out. You will not be burned up. That's encouraging. That's encouraging, but you got to know what the fruit is. Right? You got to know what the fruit is. And the results of this, as we said last week, if you look at verse 8, that it glorifies the Father. True branches that are in the vine that produce fruit glorify the Father. And it brings joy, in verse 11, to the believer. See that? Do you want joy in your walk with Christ? Then know that you are a true branch and you can't be separated, and that you will produce fruit and it will bring glory to the Father. That's, man, there's nothing better than that in this life. There really isn't. There are distinguishing characteristics, Jesus says, of all true branches that are connected to the vine. There are Christ-like characteristics in every branch because they are attached to the vine. That's the whole point. Jesus doesn't want you to guess if you're a believer. I don't want to push back on this too hard because I've had this conversation before, but I ran into a guy probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and I said, well, how do you know you believe then? He said, well, I wrote it down in the back of my Bible. Maybe some of you did. Yeah, I had a pastor, and he said, here's how you know you can believe. You write the date you said that you believe Jesus in the back of your Bible. And every time you doubt, you look at that back cover and you read that date on there. And that's how you know you believe. Man, that was scary for me. I was like, really? That's how I know I'm going to believe? Because I wrote something in the back of my Bible? Well, Jesus says, here's how you know you can believe, because it's going to be evidence. There's going to be characteristics in your life. There's going to be my character in your life that's going to come out through you, that's going to give you evidence that you actually are connected to the vine. That's, man, this part here, that's scary. I could write anything in there. I'm a millionaire. Put the date next to it. Every time I don't think I'm a millionaire, I open it up and go, oh, I'm a millionaire. Okay? Man, the Word of God, I got to tell you, so important, so important, so important, so important. Jesus wants you to know that you are a true branch. What are the character traits? What is the fruit that he's talking about? Now, let me caution you here. Because when Jesus is giving this to his disciples, there is an external evidence that you can see. Okay, you understand what I mean by that? Some of these attributes can be seen by others. But Jesus wants you to know, okay? He wants you to know. In other words, brothers and sisters, saints, this isn't so you can go and check everybody else's fruit. You with me? Okay? Oh, I know that guy and that guy. I mean, we talked about that last week. We do that, right? We're human. Whenever you hear something really important, man, you're looking down the aisle at your best friend 4 seats away. Gosh, I hope they hear this. Jesus says you, right? He says you. That's the caution. He wants you to know. He wants you internally to know. And so before we go around checking everybody else's fruit, right, we got to make sure we're bearing fruit ourselves. Wow. That might be important. Notice the personal pronouns. I'll just go down through this really quickly. He says, you are already clean, right? Which the word I have spoken to you in verse 3, if you see it, he says, abide in me and I in you. Notice it, right? So neither you, unless you abide in me, in verse 4, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Notice all the yous. He wants you to know. He wants you to be sure. Okay? That's the positive aspect. That's really the truth of this passage. The truth of this passage is not to show us who the false branches are. We love that, right? We have to put on our good guy hat and say, hey, there's the bad guys. But that's not the purpose in this. The purpose in this is to show you that you are in the vine. That's the encouraging part of this whole deal. Right? The encouraging part of this whole deal. You will bear much fruit. I have also loved you, verse 9. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, verse 10. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, verse 11. This is how we can know. He wants us to know. Important. Gosh. Important. So what are the character traits, right, of true branches? And I say character traits because this is important for us to understand. These are the character traits of Christ. This is the sap that comes from Him into you. If you plant an orange tree, guess what you're going to get on the branches next year? Oranges. So those character traits that come through true branches are those character traits of Christ. That's how we know the difference. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew 7, a good tree can never bear bad fruit. Impossible. Because you are taking Christ and the Father are in you. You are taking on His character. And so His character comes through you. Not perfectly. Okay? I don't want you to go home depressed today and say, my gosh, right? Not what he's talking about. He's talking about this growth in him. This is the true vine, right? Isaiah says that all the works that we could possibly do on our own are filthy rags. Okay? But works that are wrought through us in Christ, through His character, through His connection to the vine, those are the good works that he's talking about. Nothing that we put together, right? Jesus says that authentic branches will bear fruit. Authentic branches will continue to abide in the vine. In other words, they'll never uproot themselves and take their own path. Can't happen. Can't happen. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Let's talk about this bearing fruit. We got to know what this stuff is, John. Apples, oranges, right? Well, the truth of it is the fruit that Christ brings through a believer is an infallible mark, okay? Unmistakable mark that you belong to Christ. Okay? And so what is the fruit? What is the fruit? Is it prosperity? Is it perfect attendance? Hey, don't knock it. Got real live people walking around in church right now that think their attendance, their Bible study, all that stuff, their fervent prayers, all those things, they can be fruit. But don't deceive yourself. I think the fruit is many things in this passage. We're going to talk about a couple of them today. We can't go through all of them, of course. But I think there's the pruning, right, that the Father does. That's fruit in verse 2, definitely. There's the abiding, of course, in both Christ and His Word in verses 7 and 8 and 10. You have the obedience to His commandments in verse 10. That's fruit. There's the love for one another. That's fruit, right? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, right? And there's our witness in verses 16 and 27. That's another fruit, that we make disciples and that disciples are made, okay? Bottom line. All of these attributes, right, result in bringing glory to the Father. This is the big deal. All of these produce joy in the believer. And so there's varying degrees of fruit here. This is why I said we're not perfect. There's varying. This is important, okay? It's not an excuse, though. I get some Christians that go, well, I'm just one of those little fruit producers. No, that's not the way it works. He says in verse 2, if you look at it, he says that you will bear fruit, obviously, and there's some branches that will bear more fruit, even in verse 2. And then there's even more branches that will bear much fruit, verses 5 and 8. Right? So there's varying degrees, and we know what that looks like. Believe me, there's guys in my life that are just, to me, they're monster fruit guys. And I think to myself, gosh, I feel so insignificant compared to, you know, we know people like that. They're fervent at prayer and honest in their work. You see, some people are just tremendous at constantly comforting and helping others. I mean, that's just amazing. I always said the first person in line, right, in heaven, if there's a line, stay with me on this. The first person in line won't be the pastor that taught for 50 years. In my mind, it'll be the widow that was faithful to building up the body of Christ for 50 years. Probably insignificant to the rest of the world, but greatest in the kingdom of God. Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. And so we got different varying degrees of fruit, right? That God will produce through us and in us, but there should be fruit. The point is that there's no such thing as a fruitless branch. You cannot claim that I've been walking with Christ for 40 years and not have any of these evidence, not carry any of these attributes. Okay? I have people that come to me, honestly, and they say, well, I just can't get out of this sin. I keep on falling into this, and I can't quit. And, well, how long has this been going on, man? Well, it's been like, you know, a couple years. And really, God hasn't broken this cycle of sin in you? You haven't? No, and I just don't know what to do. I feel like I'm enslaved. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh. Jesus Christ came to the cross to take away what? Okay. Not to make us sin less, but to take away sin. In other words, He came to break that cycle of sin. And so there should be evidence, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But look at verse 4. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. See, we just talked about that. So neither can you unless you abide in me, he says. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? That's the best part. God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to save you, and then you've got to do the work. He says, I'm going to save you, I'm going to do all the heavy lifting, and then I'm going to use you for the rest of your life. Okay? I'm going to work through you for the rest of your life. And so if there's any of these character traits that are evident within you, this is the result of being in Christ. We're only going to look at the first three, the pruning, the abiding, and the obedience. We're going to look at those three first. Okay? And it's very brief. There's not a whole lot we got to say about this. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he says in verse 2, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. First one is the evidence in your life. The evidence in your life that you are attached to the vine is God shows up. Okay? You can't come and say, well, I've been in this sin. I've been living with. I've been doing that. Or I've been, you know, watching this for 10 years now. And my first question is, where is God in your life? Because His promise is that He will not let you go your own way. That's His promise. A good and loving Father will not let you continue in your sin. He will break the cycle. That's His promise. He will break the cycle. He will break every disobedience in you. In Scripture, and I was speaking with some people about this week, they said, well, how does God do that? And I said, well, sometimes it's a gentle nudge, depending on your particular personality. Sometimes, 1 Corinthians, right? Remember when they were taking communion wrong? What did He do to them? Made some of them sick, and He killed the rest. Sometimes God will kill you to save you. That's the truth. Look at this, Hebrews 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline, right? The paideia, the training of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. See that? He's going to reprove you. He's going to rebuke your walk and keep you on the right relationship, right fellowship with Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and He scourges every son who He receives, right? Every son whom... Man, this is just precious to me. Do you want to know if you are attached to the vine? God shows up and He will not let you go your own way. He will not let you continue. Why, Sean? Why won't He let you just do what you want to do? Because you won't produce fruit. You see it? If you're attached to the vine, right? What good is the branch that's not producing fruit, that's doing its own thing, that's not part of the big picture? God says those people are what? Cut away. They're cut away. The Father promises to bring us back into a right relationship with Him. He will not let you be a victim to your own devices. He also says in Hebrews, we don't have time to go into it today, that sometimes pruning, discipline, training is painful. We don't like that part. Sometimes it's painful. He says, but the idea is that He intervenes in your life because you are a true branch to bring you back into a right relationship. So if you can continue to go your own way, right, a person that can like continuously remain in sin and disobedience and never be rebuked in their conscience, man, I get scared for them. Because the truth of it may be they might be a real branch. Okay? Might not be a real branch. God says in Romans 1:26 that He lets the unrighteous go their own way. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. God says with real children, He will not let you. What does a good father do? You just let your kid keep zipping back and forth across the street without ever telling them about looking both ways? Never. But God says, not so with the unrighteous, not so with the wicked, not so with those that do not honor Him, love Him, obey Him. He just lets them go their own way. They just continue on down that path. They never look back. Right? 5, 6, 7 years later, you get these people. Oh, no, I believe Jesus. Really? Well, here's your life. Here's your fruit. There is none. In fact, John, in 1 John, he says that true believers, right, or actually in this passage here, he says true believers will abide, they will remain, they will stay, they will continue, right? In 1 John, though, he says, they went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown, so that it would be manifested that they never really belonged to us. We know what that is. We don't have to play games here. Sometimes people just walk out that door and they never come back and they never go to anywhere else either. I don't care what church you go to as long as it teaches, preaches, and exalts Christ and His Word. I'm blessed. Jeremiah had 0 converts. Isaiah had 0 converts, right? Abide. Remember, we saw that last week, the word meno. It means to remain. He stays. He continues. That's how we know. There's nothing in us that makes us stay in this relationship with Jesus. Are you kidding me? It's too hard sometimes. So when we do remain, even through all of the stuff, we can look back and we never go, geez, I've been such a good Christian. We always look back and go, man, this must be God because it sure isn't me. Okay? This must be the sap from heaven. Because if it was left up to me, I'd have ran away a million times. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing, right? Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch that dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words, here we go, right? What does abiding mean? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is the evidence that you belong to the vine, that you remain, you continue to remain, not only in Christ, but also His Word. Man, I preach this one until I'm blue in the face in this place. If you have no desire, if there's no appetite, if there's no hunger and thirst for righteousness through the Word of God, then there's something missing. You got to get a checkup from the neck up because He says that you will have an appetite for this, an unquenchable appetite for His Word. I'm not saying perfection. I'm not saying you've got to read the Bible in 30 days. What I'm saying is that you desire to know what Jesus wants to know. You desire to be obedient in His commandments. Why, Sean? Because if Christ's character is in you by virtue of your connection to the vine, that's all that Jesus and the Holy Spirit desire, is to be obedient to the Father, to do His will, to have an appetite for His Word. So Christ's character becomes our character. You see? You guys have all heard that saying, right? The acorn doesn't fall too far from it. Usually we're talking about nuts, but yeah. These are the things that please the Father. These are the things that Jesus seeks to do to please the Father. And so the sap that runs through you changes your character so that you seek. The fruit is that you seek to please the Father through the things that Jesus seeks to please the Father. The internal and the external evidence in your life is that you are doing those things whom Christ has called you to do. Not attendance. Okay. That fellowship. So first thing we looked at, right? He prunes you. God does not let you go your own way. He keeps you in this relationship. Second thing we looked at, there's an internal desire to abide, to remain, to fellowship, to love, to eat His Word, right? Verse 8 says, My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove. So prove to be My disciples. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved Me, I also loved you. Abide in My love. Man. That connection, right? Look at verse 10. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments. See the connection? This is what Jesus desires, and if we are in Him and He is in us, that's what our desires become. We love the things that Jesus loves, and we hate the things that Jesus hates. That's just the bottom line. To truly love Jesus, right? To truly want Him is to follow His commandments, He says. To be connected to Him, to abide and to remain in the Father. This is just tremendous. You know what? One of the most confirming verses that I had in my life as far as commandments are concerned, right? Because Christians, it's like everybody else, you hear that word commandments, man, you think law, and you're just like, ooh, don't want none of that. One of the most confirming verses, look at this, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? You want evidence you're in the vine? Because the natural man does not understand the law, does not understand the spiritual things. In other words, unbelievers can never quite grasp, and they definitely push back against the law. You don't see any unbeliever, somebody not connected to the vine, going, geez, I'm going to follow them all. Doesn't happen. Right? Believers, it's hard enough. You're like, whoa, hey, whoa, 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 you know. But he says His commandments aren't burdensome. Why was it so comforting to me? Because when I really began to look at this and understand it, right? God's commandments to abide in His Word, to love Him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and to love my neighbor as myself, those things that are most difficult to do, they were not burdensome to me. We're not talking about perfection, but they weren't burdensome. I didn't push back against God's Word. I didn't read something and go, oh, well, yeah, that might be good for someone else, but. Abiding is not just simply saying, oh, I'm going to read, study, meditate on God's Word. Abiding means that you believe God's Word. You receive it as the infallible Word of God. Well, I know it says that, but science has proven. Right? We don't push back. It's not a burden. It's not a burden to do what God says. You know what? Take care of your family. Take care of your brothers and sisters, right? Love them. Proclaim My name to the world. Well, and you hear this. I'm not really an evangelist. Man, you're an evangelist if you belong to Christ. Okay? It's not burdensome. Boy, that was so comforting to me. This had to be the sap from the vine, because everything else in me wanted to fight God all the way. Okay? Wanted to fight Him. We're not talking about perfect obedience here. I don't want you to think that your fruit has to be perfect. Remember we said there's different sizes of fruit that Jesus is talking about. Some of you got obedience down to a fault. Some of you are working on it. Some of you are just babies. Okay? It's not the perfection that God has required. It's His greatest desire in you is that you have an affection for Him, that you love Him. Because those things are what... It's not the commandments. When Jesus says the commandments, He's talking about a consummation of the commandments. He's not talking about thou shalt not lie. That's God's character, man. And I'm not bucking up against those things. But if you're going to try to follow that list, you're going to be a depressed person. Okay? What Jesus says is this abiding comes from this overwhelming desire to love Him, because He knows if you love Him, if you truly love Him, you will obey His commandments, because that's what we do for people we love. Okay? You don't slam your wife's fingers in the car door just for fun when you go out on a date. You love her. You want to take care of her. You want to make sure she gets in the car comfortably. Works out better for you at home. Just a little plug for the marriage conference coming up. Jesus says in John 14:23, this is precious. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Do you see it? We'll come and we'll live in you, man. We'll be everything that we want you to be. Everything that you want me to be. Verse 11 in our passage says, these things I have spoken to you. Jesus says, I mean, I don't know. Guys, I try to put these things visually. I mean, these disciples, I mean, I just figured they're beat up by now. They're not getting a whole lot of what's going on. The Spirit of God hasn't come yet, so they don't have a tremendous understanding. Jesus is saying, hey, I know I've been with you for 3 years, but I'm leaving. Judas is split. The world is against you. But Jesus says to them and to you today, He says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, right, may be in you and that your joy may be made full. You see it? Man, I would be ready to take on the world at that point if the Son of God standing in front of me said, your joy is going to be full in this. Let's go. But see, that's the beauty of the Word. It's timeless, isn't it? Because that's what He's saying right now. If you know Him, then make sure, man, that you're following Him and loving Him with all your might, because this is going to be your greatest joy, your greatest fulfillment, okay? If you don't know Him, then, gosh, get on your knees and beg for Him. Plead with Him. Seek after Him. He says, anyone who comes to me, I'm not going to cast them out. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's just tremendous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this teaching could be tough. It could be so tough on us. But it could also be the most encouraging thing ever. A tremendousness for us. That we are truly connected and can't be separated, and that we will always be taken care of, that you will always live in us, that you will always produce fruit through us, that regardless of what we see, regardless of our circumstances, Father God, you assure us of this salvation. And thank you for those words today, Lord. Let us press on this week with this thought in our minds and our hearts, Father God. I pray earnestly for the rest of the fellow believers, for the rest of the saints here today, that we would be even more productive, that you would work even more mightily through us than you already have, that you would draw us even into more obedience and into more love. And for those that don't know you here today, Lord, we beg, please, that salvation would come this morning. Not through the pastor or the church or the people, but it would come from you, Lord, through the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God, working through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these truths this morning, Father. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.